Well, folks, it's that time once again. I'm Sean.
I'm Josh.
Hey, I'm Wes.
Man, that was perfect.
I'm Donovan. We didn't get the timing down. We'll get it next time.
Well, after that botched intro, this is the Making Geeks podcast. We are the podcast for makers, dads, and geeks, and this is episode 122.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is. That number, well, it gets higher every time automatically, but it's a lot of hours of content we put out.
Yeah, at least 122 hours.
At least.
There's not many episodes we've had that have been under an hour. How are you guys doing this week?
Good. I'm cold. I don't like it.
Half my state is on fire. I would gladly change places with you.
So I guess somewhere in Colorado, somewhere in between the two of us, they're temperate right now?
I think so.
Lucky duckies. I'm pretty sure that's not how the winter works in Colorado, but okay. Yeah, a big old ice storm came through and everything outside is frozen. My Jeep is frozen shut. All the trees are frozen and falling over. And it's cold. But at least I'm not in the RV kind of cold. So, we're doing all right. How's your house? You're not on fire, are you?
No, the fires aren't by me, but they're close enough that when I drive towards work, I can see all the smoke in the air. Because I drive towards LA in the morning, and they're pretty much that direction. And also up north, by the Bay Area, there's some big ones.
Mm. How about you guys step on each other and tell us how you're doing?
I'm doing all right. I had a fun Twitch stream earlier today where I'm working on a project that I've been waiting to work on. I've needed a NES shell, like the actual case itself without the internal electronics, for a project that I've finally found one. And it was working up until 5 minutes before we started recording, and I was dabbling with it, and I think I broke the thing I'm working on. I don't want to really reveal what it is at this moment, even though people have already seen it on the Twitch stream, but I think it'll be cool if I keep it under wraps for now. But yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm not on fire or frozen. We did have snow this week, which in Oklahoma is very rare. Very rare. So everybody freaked out. We enjoyed it. The kids loved it. I put out my video for the table epoxy glow thing. I never know what to call it. The Legend of Zelda glow table, whatever, on Monday. And I've been working on my Hylian Shield tool bags. And then next Monday, so a couple days from now, I am tattooing a pair of leather shoes. So that'll be a new experience.
Yeah, I was a little bit jealous of your video when you put it out, because you put yours out the night after I put mine out. And I've been watching our numbers, you know, kind of go head to head. And I was kind of ahead for a while, and you finally pulled ahead of my numbers.
So. Oh, my whopping 200 views?
You're like at 250 right now, and I'm at like 243, something like that. Not that I've been keeping tabs on it.
Oh, no.
Well, good job, both of you. But Donovan, I was watching the workbench, and what you're doing now with the animation and like the storytelling, like that's really fun. And it's unique. Like, Sean, you kind of do the same thing with your kids. So both of you have a similar kind of genre now where you're making things in a very whimsical way with your kids. Mm-hmm. It's really enlightening. It's really kind of fun. But with the workbench, my wife was watching it, and she went, "Oh my God, why is he doing it like that? That seems like the hardest thing in the world."
I think a lot of people had the same thoughts.
She goes, "Why doesn't he just use a CNC?" I'm like, "Because he doesn't have one." She's like, "But how many people does he know that has one?" I was like, leave that man alone. He's doing a good job. He's doing a lot of work I wouldn't do.
It took me 100 hours. Actually, it was like 105, but who's counting? Yeah, it took me 100 hours to route and carve and do all of that, that whole tabletop, $100. Such a waste.
Looking back on it, though, how much faster, how much more streamlined do you think you could have made it, looking kind of like reflecting back?
You mean, had I used a CNC or doing
process? No. Even by hand, do you see like faster ways you could have done it, or maybe order operations would have been different that would have sped it up?
Yeah, the inlay actually was probably the hardest part, trying to get all of the pieces to fit together, because I wanted them to fit together like laser precision, like to fit together. And it wasn't until I let go of that desire that I finally got everything to work. The only problem that I found with that is that you can't look at it too close, because you see all of the epoxy fills that I had to do around some of the lines to get everything to be even. And yeah, as with most of my projects, I've realized that as long as you don't look at it too closely, it looks fantastic.
That's why it's all on video.
But now, does that have like a super special place in your heart, or is it that thing that's like, God, that thing took forever and you're sick of looking at it?
Well, it kind of both. What, near the end of the project, like the last week and a half before I put the video out, I was completely resenting that project, like totally and completely resenting that project. But once it was done, I was like, I love it. But the problem is now I already know what I want to do from my next workbench. So, well,
with it being a workbench, are you going to be more hesitant to do certain things on it that you would like a normal like throwaway workbench, like a piece of MDF or whatever? Like, are you going to drill holes through one thing and have that come out? Like, you're going to be more protective of it, or is it just like whatever?
No, I'm not. No, I'm. I mean, yeah. It's going to be a workbench, and so I'm going to use it as a workbench.
Okay.
I learned back in my script writing days that you need to kill your darling. So I don't mind using it for its intended purpose, regardless of how cool it is. Like, I, at night, I will still walk in to the garage and be like, that is cool. Because it's glowing. Like, you walk out in the garage, all the lights are off, and you see this like glowing wall, you know, the characters and all that. So, yeah.
The one shot of you putting in the glowing epoxy into the characters on the side. Oh, yeah. Which, by the way, does that spell out something?
Yes, it because does. You,
what's it spell out? I was going to go back and freeze frame it to try to see if I could figure it out.
It's it spells out two things. So on the right side, it spells out Breath of the Wild. And on the left side, it spells out the Beardless Man. Because everything fits perfectly. Because I started this project when I was the Beardless Man and ended it as Once Upon a Workshop. So it's a little Easter egg callback to my previous life. So
your last shot of finishing it should have been you with a beard.
Yeah. See, no more. The thing about the videos that I used to make is I put so many inside jokes into those videos that were like callbacks to jokes in previous videos. So like each joke was like building on each other. Like the one of me hand sawing the piece of wood.
Yeah.
I used that over and over again because it was a joke that was a callback to a joke. And I realized that it's like, I need to stop doing that, because unless people diligently like watch all of my videos all the way, nobody's going to get this. And I don't want to have to explain the joke. So
When I saw that scene, I went, dude, I know he's a glutton for punishment, but there's no way that he's actually doing what he's doing. I'm like, he has access to a bandsaw. I know he does. And then a couple of scenes later, you actually use the bandsaw. I'm like, no, hold on. I'm like, I guess I wasn't in on the inside joke or the inception of these jokes.
Well,
it's, but I got to go back and figure out where it originated, because now it makes a little more sense that it's a gag. Because I was like, Everything else seems to be like you're taking the 10-mile route around the neighborhood to get to where you're going. I'm like, is it beyond him to cut?
It is completely true off? Because I really don't have a lot of tools. I mean, I don't even have a table saw anymore. I just have a few hand tools, and that's it. And so it's not a matter of I'm purposely want to take the 10 miles around the neighborhood, so to speak. It's just that's kind of the situation I'm in. So,
yeah, and don't take that as a dig. But I mean, I was watching that one. I'm like, oh man, he's about to resaw this like 12-inch board with a hacksaw. I was like,
yeah, 8-quarter walnut with a handsaw. You know how long that takes? Long, long, oh, long time. Yeah.
You know, here we are just trying to make crap, and then you're creating a cinematic universe with your videos.
You're the Stan Lee.
I do want to create a culture around my project, so yes. Yes and yes.
Speaking of the man, Mr. Stan Lee, should we have a quick moment of silence for him?
You got to pour one out?
Pour one out.
Oh.
He had some great cameos. My favorite one was the Mallrats cameo, still. It's the best.
I totally forgot about that one.
Is Dork made of orange rock, too?
Brody.
Oh, man, Brody. That's when I thought that they were like father and son. And I read that they weren't.
I was watching one of those compilation videos online about all his different appearances. And he had an appearance all the way back in, I think it was 1988, maybe even earlier, in one of the original Incredible Hulk shows with Lou Ferrigno. He was like in a courtroom scene or something. I thought it was pretty cool that it started all the way back then.
I heard that Lou Ferrigno does the voice of every single Hulk. I don't know how true that is. I remember reading that somewhere.
I thought I heard that too, but I don't know if that's still the case.
Random. All right, what are we doing today? I heard that there was trivia. You leaked somewhere that there was a quiz or something. What are we doing?
I leaked somewhere. Well, do we want the discussion before the quiz, or do we want the quiz before the discussion?
I think it depends.
There needs
on the
to be
quiz.
Some kind of setup. So who's ever going to set it up, and then I can start firing them out there.
Well, Jonathan, you came up with the topic.
Oh yeah, that's right. I did. I kind of forgot that for a second. The initial question was, what would you like to see before you die? And then it kind of evolved into like talking more like technology-based. I think we kind of added that layer to it possibly. I think that was kind of like my original intention. So like, for instance, I would love to see, this is just one of them, but I would love to see an actual human on Mars before I die. I would love to see that achievement.
I thought we saw that.
Not in real life.
Oh, okay.
Potatoes?
Yeah, potatoes. Bad joke. Okay, continue. The Martian. It's the Mark, because of the movie and Matt Damon. Never mind. See?
You don't explain it. I got it.
No, the book was so much better.
Donovan, we all got it.
All of our listeners got it, bro.
We all got it.
We're all family here.
You don't have to tell me why the joke is funny. The joke's just funny. We got it. We all like it.
He's laughing on the inside. Okay.
I'm making poop. Making poop taters.
All right. So do you want me to go into this?
Well, I mean, is there something that we have on our mind?
Like, so I gave one example. So,
you want to see somebody on Mars, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking, I guess mine is space related too. Like, I want to see space tourism. I want to see the first group of true believers and dreamers actually get to go to space and have that be a real possibility for people.
Beyond just the one or, handful of people that already went to ISS. You mean like a squad super of mega them, rich. Like a bus full of them, essentially, right?
Yeah, like
more normal rich people.
I guess as a callback to Andy Weir's other book, Artemis. So he did The Martian, then there's a book called Artemis where they have like a colony on the moon. And it's like a tourism colony where people can take a shuttle and they can go to the moon and they can hang out. And you can go have there's a visitor center around the Apollo 11 landing site. Like, I want to go to that. I want that to be a thing. And I want to see it.
Do you think that that possibility, because I consider a possibility in and of itself, would help us perpetuate us even further in space exploration and technology and all those things? Because more people would, see the possibilities. Like, well, if we could do this, well, what else could we possibly do?
In the book, it had a lot more practical applications. Like, they mentioned some type of like fiber optic line or telecommunications line that could only be created in like low gravitational situations. And so when they, like in the book, they tested it on the ISS in low Earth orbit, but they did it in a really small scale. And so this company figured out that they could do it on the moon. And so they were going to like pretty much settle this massive manufacturing warehouse, and that it would revolutionize the telecommunications industry on Earth, therefore giving these people like a monopoly on the technology. And so I think that maybe rather than space exploration, because it's really hard to get people to financially buy into space exploration in the name of being like an adventurer, like you got to make it marketable in some way. And so I don't know if there is some super magic thing like they talked about in the book that can be manufactured efficiently in low Earth or low gravity situations, but it would have to be financially viable to be able to send people there like on a tourist basis. Like that is not going to lead the way. Somebody making a buttload of money on it and then tourism trailing closely behind, I think, is going to be the key.
Like space mining stuff.
Yeah, like on the moon, where like you had to get the rocks from the dark side of the moon.
Asteroid mining.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing like flying cars, like actual practical ones that someone could pull into a driveway.
You're not talking about the automated drones that are flying around now?
I mean, you can't really get in an automated drone.
Yeah, you can.
It's not automated then, is it?
Yeah, they have autonomous...
If you're passive.
Well, no, they have autonomous drones now. Basically, you get in and it will fly you somewhere. I forget the name of the companies. I'll try to find them, but there's companies that already exist that are doing this, that they are large enough to take two people at a time.
I would not trust that. As much as I understand the autopilot and the automated version of you flying around in a jumbo jet, like I get that, but there still is a person that's there to make rash decisions when need be.
Did you ever see Better Off Ted?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the company that engineers and designs all the
commercials,
all these fantastical things, and they make a flying machine. He's like, can you imagine it? Like, people are going to be able to fly like from here to there, doing all these things, soaring through the sky. And then they look at each other and he's like, so many people are going to die. Yeah. Cause that's what I see when I think flying cars, is so many people are going to die.
Well, there was something like that the Army had. They have like, remotely piloted versions of helicopters that currently exist, just to try to show how viable it is. So like there's a Black Hawk that's completely automated. It's just these dudes on like a mega controller, and there's like a helicopter off, and there's one called a K-Max, which is this helicopter. It's really cool looking. It's got two rotor heads that are tilted, and they use it to like fight fires, and they put a buck underneath of it, and it has this guy flying around with a little camera. And I had a friend of mine that was like, how are they doing that firefighting? Because in a real helicopter, there's me or another guy that did my job that's in the back pushing buttons and doing levers to make the water come out. And we had him convinced. We're like, oh, yeah, there's a crew chief on board. They just don't have a pilot. He's like, really? We're like, yeah, there's no pilots. It's just a guy in the back pushing a button, doing all the water. And he's like, well, that seems weird. We're like, yeah, well, you know, he gets paid extra. Because it's extra hazardous.
Danger,
he's like,
danger pay.
Man. And so we had him convinced for like a year that he needed to, like, there was an approval process. And so we were going to fill out an application for him so that he could go be part of this unmanned aerial reconnaissance unit, that he was going to just sit in the back of a helicopter that was being piloted by some people in like a bunker thousands of miles away. Hmm. But that's kind of what it would be like.
Here's a picture of one of them.
Huh. Interesting.
And there's also a company called Kitty Hawk that's doing them.
It's appropriate. I mean, it's sort of like a cliche answer, I guess. I don't know, it would be nice to not have to have an alternative to, you know, either super expensive flying or taking forever to get somewhere in a car. Maybe the Elon's tunnel system would work. I don't know. Who knows?
That's a good point about just transportation on a different scale. Because like when you go to Montana or you go to Europe and you see that speed limits are much higher. And I thought back to like the olden days when people had to crank their cars and how slow stuff was. And if someone could see the crappiest car now drive back then, they were like, oh, what is this crazy technology that people are moving so fast? And I'm waiting to see the, what's that movie, iRobot with Will Smith with the Audis that could just like drive themselves, but they drive themselves at such incredible speeds because so many things are automated. Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, I can't wait for that to be the new norm, to where people won't look back and realize that 70 miles an hour like used to be fast. That'd be neat.
That would be cool. I'm sure people that ride in a bullet train get on any other kind of train, they're like, oh,
yeah,
so slow.
Well, they're talking about bringing back the Concorde style supersonic flight. I guess gas prices might be low enough to make that viable, but I like right now how all of ours are. No, it's fuel expense. And then there was public interest. Like, they had a couple of them crash, and so people didn't have faith in it. And then rising fuel prices kind of killed that one. It's noisy, but noise is good for an airport because you can just charge people more.
I just read an article yesterday about the military testing a new type of airplane that does quiet sonic booms.
Hmm. What's the fun in that?
Guile's weeping in a corner somewhere.
Nice Street Fighter joke.
That was good. I like how all of ours are transportation based. They seem to be very practical.
Well, mine was exploration based, just seeing somebody on Mars. Because transportation to get there, of course.
To get there, yeah.
Honestly, transportation, I think for somebody like me who lives out of the city but works in the city, and I spend so much of my time commuting, and I hate commuting, like, more efficient transportation would be fantastic.
Mm. I see a lot more automation for things like fast food joints. Like, I still don't see how there are people working at fast food joints. That seems unnecessary. I think with the quality of food that you're getting and the like understanding of what you're buying when you go to a fast food joint, it's pretty much a vending machine anyway. So I think people, honestly, if there was a commercial that goes, hey guys, get over yourself, we're going to be pretty much, we're going whole hog and becoming a vending machine.
So I got to find some other menial task for, a fourth of our workforce to do.
Yeah, I think it needs to start raising the bar for everybody. I think we're in the future.
That is a whole other discussion that's kind of like in process right now.
Well, I mean, they're already phasing out cashiers, right? Amazon's got the checkoutless store where you can just walk out with your cart. I mean, that's...
When's the last time you actually... I don't know. I'm asking this legitimately because I know where I stand. But when's the last time you actually went purposely to a line with a cashier?
I do it all the time because I hate checking myself out because it's almost always something goes wrong. Like, you put the wrong thing on the weight on the scale and it like flags a person. It takes forever. It's just a hassle. I'd rather wait an extra 5 minutes sometimes, depending upon the volume of items I have. If I have like over eight items or something like that, I'd rather just stand. I don't know. It's just more often than not, I have an issue.
Do you think that's purposeful?
Maybe. It's maybe psychology.
Maybe that's Wendy over there in the corner.
Yeah.
Like, this is not jamming a screwdriver in the little thing.
Yeah.
My job is important.
Took my job.
They still need me to scan my barcode.
I don't generally like people in public, so I'd rather use a machine. But I often have the same problem Wes does, where anytime I have to, try to buy spray paint, somebody has to come over and, okay, are you over 18? Yeah, but quite a bit. Just swipe the damn card and let me through.
I end up back talking the thing where it's like, hey, please insert your VIP number, blah, blah, blah. And I like do it and it's like processing and it says something else. I end up like talking smack to the robot. I'm like, shut up.
Won't be long before you get a response.
It's true. I'll get
Wesley Swain. Thank you for your patronage.
I'll get like a social conduct score or whatever. Where I think it was the episode of what was that? No, I'm running. I can't remember the name of it.
Laverne and Shirley.
No, it was a Seth MacFarlane new show that came out. Orville, yes. There's an episode of Orville. Thank you. Brain fart. Where they had basically social scores. Every person had like a little badge and had an upvote or a downvote on their chest. And so if they did something in public that someone else saw, that was like questionable or whatever, people could like pull up their phones and go bloop, 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 and it would make their social score go down. And once it went beyond a certain point, then they get like people will come out of nowhere and like arrest them, basically. And yeah.
Funny and thing about that.
I know where you're going with it.
People, oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
No. Go on.
Well, a certain nation that is not to be discussed is implementing such a policy. Would you like to say who they are? Any guesses? What country would have such a regime to do this?
And Canada.
To do it. Yes, the Mounties will come out and lather you up with maple
everybody
syrup.
Everybody would have a perfect score.
That's right. There's a
oh, I'm Greenland? Sorry. Yes. Let me get you a thumbs up. Yeah, no.
You're doing great, buddy.
No, it's China.
Yep.
Hmm. Yeah. And having lived there and understanding the culture, I can, like, the thing about China is everything over there is based on face. It's all based on perception. And, like, and face dictates how you treat other people, how they treat you, and class structure and everything like that. And now this is a way for government to regulate face. Like, it... As somebody that lives there, I understand why they're doing this. I don't like it, and I don't agree with it, but I can understand why the Chinese culture would be like, yeah, this is good.
Interesting.
So, terrifying.
I think the checkout aisle should be that way. The more impatient and angry you are with the machine, the more problems it will just inherently like introduce into your experience. And then... It's like, Wes, it doesn't have to be this way. Is the screen that comes up before it asks if you want cash or credit.
Like how? Yeah.
If you're patient and you're understanding with it, then it just gradually gets better until you can just go through there and just beep, 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 and skip right through like I do. It's so nice.
And while at Walmart, they won't even use like languages. They'll show you like memes or something.
Hmm. So what else do we need to cut out? I mean, we cut out newspapers, all but killed newspapers in print. Magazines, I think, are hanging on. Hmm.
For mine, because I haven't discussed mine, but mine is it's a very specific thing that actually already exists, but it hasn't been implemented in anything. So when I was in college, I got an invitation to go to the World Creativity Forum that for that year was being held here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Because before that, it was in like Stockholm, Sweden, and you know the year after that, it was in like Munich. But they decided to do it in Tulsa, and so I got an invitation to go to it. And while I was there, there was a presentation by an Indian MIT student debuting this technology called Sixth Sense. And basically, what it is, it's a little contraption that you wear right here, and it has a camera like a webcam, and another camera, a projector. So like a webcam and a projector and like a computer built into it. So, and basically what it is, it's like Minority Report, you know, that billboard where pictures mm-hmm. come up and you use your fingers to like do all that kind of stuff. He was demonstrating this technology, this wearable technology that exactly does that. Like you're walking around, if you want to take a picture, you take a picture. You can walk up to a wall and throw all your pictures onto the wall, adjust them, like send them to somebody. If you want to make a phone call, you hold out your hand and the numbers come on your hand and you dial and all this kind of stuff. It was amazing technology that he created. But after he graduated from MIT, he started working for Google and they abandoned the project. It's open source. You can go and download the code and you like build one yourself. But I would love to see that kind of technology because it can project what you want onto like whatever you're in front of. Mm-hmm. So no longer do you need newspapers. You can just have a whiteboard and this machine will like project the news or a video or, you know, whatever. I think that has amazing potential for changing people's reliance on like phones and tablets, but still having access to like the internet and everything.
Yeah, augmented reality stuff is fascinating. I think it's going to really catch on in a mainstream way, and people aren't going to expect it, I think.
And Donovan, the system you're talking about, you don't need to wear any special glasses to see the projection, right?
No. It's just a little thing that you literally like wear around your neck. I mean, they designed it to kind of hang around your neck. The first iterations were like these contraptions where you put it on the side of your head, and then they had different iterations, but the final one was just this device that you had around your neck.
I know, I was only bringing it up because it seems like all the current systems are focusing on the eyes because they want the tracking of the eyes because it helps with like the depth of field and everything else. Cool.
Yeah. So that's my thing. It exists, but not to its potential. So, okay. You ready? You ready for this?
Let's do it.
Yep. Let's do it. Do I got to do the intro? So I got to welcome to the world of tomorrow. So what I want to do is I want to quiz you guys to see if you can figure out which of these technologies are real and which ones are fake, since we're talking about like innovation and the future and all this other kind of stuff. So I'm going to go through and we're going to talk about, I'm going to explain what the thing is and you can tell me if it's real or if it's fake.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yes, all right. Do it.
You can play along in the comments too if you want to. All right. A bendable smartphone. Is it real or is it fake?
It's real.
Yeah, it's real.
Real.
It is. It was developed by Samsung.
Yep.
It's called the Yume. Actually, funny enough, if you have seen any recent Samsung advertisements or anything like that, they have the Samsung logo and the very end of the logo is bent up and then it says like coming soon or something like that, teasing that they're releasing a bendable, supposedly unbreakable, foldable cell phone.
Hmm.
So, all right, next one, Gundam suit. Since we are geeks, a lot of these are very geek related.
Like a wearable or one you can control remotely?
Like a functional Gundam suit, like you see in a plethora of animes.
There's a version of it that does exist.
There are exoskeletons I've seen. As far as like flying around with jetpacks and stuff, well, that exists too. I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there is actually a, it's like 20 feet tall, fully functional Gundam suit, like Mobile Suit Gundam, that was developed by a Japanese company called Kuratas back in 2015 is when they debuted it. So yeah, totally real. All right. Since Meg came out recently, I don't know if you guys have seen that or not. Underwater cities, real or fake?
There's an underwater laboratory. What do you define as a city?
Right, I think that's where the difference is. I'm going to say no.
I'll say colony, underwater colony. Maybe city is too broad of a term. Yeah, like underwater colony.
I know there's been underwater experiments, like living conditions. I don't know if I'd call it a full colony.
Yeah, there's one that is still around right now. I don't know. I would say yeah. It's completely feasible. I don't see why not.
I'll say true.
Yes.
Yeah. There are not actually any full-time underwater colonies or anything like that. The ideas have been proposed, and some of them they've tried to make this thing a reality, but they've realized that it is not financially feasible because you can have more success with unmanned submarines that are far more practical than putting people underwater.
I know that there's the Aquarius Reef Base that's in Key Largo. Let me see. Because I was looking this up. Because there's an old astronaut that started the Aquanaut program. And it's, I think, one of the colleges. Yeah, FIU, Florida International University. Yeah, it took ownership of the Aquarius in 2014, which is a marine education and research initiative. I believe it's still in operation. I don't know if it's continuously habited, but there are people that are like graduate students and people that will go down and live in this underwater laboratory that's in a reef in Key Largo, like for extended periods of time. Because I wanted to go do it.
Oh,
we'll
really?
We'll put plausible for that one.
Okay. Plausible. All right. Color changing contacts. Real or fake?
Real.
I think they're real.
They recently came out.
Josh is thinking.
Well, see, I'm going, is it electronic or is it chemical? Because if it's chemical, like it would just change from one to another, like slowly. Or if it was electronic, you would have to have like a board to be able to do like super tiny LEDs or NeoPixels.
It could also be like my glasses too. They're UV reactive. So they would like actually have like a tint on them if I go outside in the sun.
I would say true because there's at least two different ways that you may be able to do it.
Yeah, they are totally real. The most common use for them is they're used by diabetics to alert them when they're of their glucose levels.
Yeah, so they're chemically reactive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, totally true. It's a thing. All right. Air-conditioned clothing.
Like Back to the Future?
Like Back to the Future. We have heated clothing, but is air-conditioned clothing a thing?
Adam Savage wore one.
I've worn that.
Suit. Yeah. You wore the same one that Adam Savage wore? That's cool.
Yeah. It's a little vest that has a bunch of tubes in it, and we had a little pump thing, and we had wore it in a helicopter because it would be so crazy hot. And it would pump cold water, and it made you feel like your shirt was all sweaty. Like if you get a super sweaty shirt, and then you sit down on a couch, and your back is really, really cold, and you're like, ooh, that like weird feeling you have in your torso. That's what it felt like all the time.
Yeah, so it's like water cooling technology used for like a CPU.
But that's not air conditioning, though.
It's another definition thing. There's no air, you're saying.
Yeah, you're not conditioning air. You're circulating water.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason you can't have fans in a suit. Like if you're in a giant, like a Mickey Mouse. If you're in a Mickey Mouse costume, you could have fans in there, and that would be considered air conditioning.
I would say yes, because there's some mountain climbing clothes that have argon in them. That is like a natural insulator beside like the goose down and stuff. There's a gas. So I don't know if you could do the same thing with Freon. Maybe. I would say yes.
This is kind of a yes and no. There are no air conditioned clothes in the sense of like, kind of like Back to the Future where air is literally flowing through the clothes. Just because of the inconvenience of flowing air through clothing, but there are clothes that, like you guys said, the tubes and the cooling and things like that for extreme climates.
I would argue that those giant sumo suits are air conditioned suits. That's the final answer.
Or the dinosaur.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
When I wore the Chuck E. Cheese costume, it had some fans in it.
Smart thinking.
Yeah, it is. Otherwise, you'd just die. All right. Food in a pill, real or fake?
Like a supplement or actual food?
Defined food.
Like something brought in a capsule or what?
Sustenance?
Yes.
Like Soylent Green kind of stuff? Like
a food pill.
It's a food powder. I don't think I've ever seen it in a pill yet.
I would say yes. Because you could, I mean, when people are in a coma or whatever, they have feeding tubes. It just pumps like a nutrient paste into their stomach. It's not like somebody jamming mashed potatoes in a colander or in like a funnel. So I'd imagine you could put that same thing inside of like a capsule.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no
Soylent Green.
I'm going to say no based on my perception of what a food capsule would be like in the Jetsons.
I would say yes, just because I think we're using food loosely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sean actually, was onto it. Food in the sense of like Jetsons, like a food pill where it's like, have your breakfast. Oh, I'm in a hurry. And so they cut it in half and yeah. They don't have food pills like that simply because of calories. Because of energy needs and the caloric needs of our bodies, we would have to take up to 450 pills a day to meet all of the caloric needs for our bodies to function.
Yeah, we don't have anything that calorie dense in that size.
Yeah. There are no food pills.
Although I can make an argument that Wes's pancakes might have that calorie density in them.
Bam, I can do it. I can encapsulate them.
Just got to add some bacon and like a protein in there and we're set.
Look, if you can put a camera inside of a pill for like a swallowable colonoscopy, you can put food in there. I'm just saying.
You just get one of your oatmeal cookies and just like
you gotta punch a hole harder. Get a burger in there.
Pills can be pretty big too.
Like, that's how I'll eat quinoa.
Quinoa
as a pill.
And you just like pack it in a pill.
Take it rectally.
Wait, this is happening in the wrong direction.
Any food could become a suppository if you really tried hard enough.
This conversation went a different
direction. This conversation took a turn.
You mean it just became awesome.
Okay, with the new Harry Potter movie coming out tomorrow, a cloak of invisibility, real or fake?
Real.
Real. Duke is developing it.
It has arguably already been used by the military, yeah. But I don't know if any of that is...
I think it works for microwave radiation, I believe.
I thought it was like more like the bending of the light.
Mm-hmm. Bending of the light. It's called metamaterials. Oh. They actually developed a cloth that a person can stand behind and you will not see the person because the light will bend around whatever is behind the blanket and only show what's off in the distance. And so they've successfully been able to develop metamaterial is what they're calling it.
That's crazy.
They first did it for microwave radiation, I'm pretty sure. That's why I'm thinking it.
But yeah, it's all about bending light around the material. It's actually really fascinating stuff. I'm sure there's a bunch of it that isn't public that we don't know about, but it is fascinating stuff. All right. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Nod.
42.
A toast knife. Real or fake?
I don't even know what the hell that is. I don't remember. I only saw the film and I blocked it from my memory.
When Arthur first gets on the ship, Trinity is showing him around and showing him all the cool things that the future, that like space has to offer, and she shows him a toast knife, a knife that toasts your bread as it cuts.
Well, it doesn't though. Well, maybe. Because toast is cooked through radiation, it's not through conduction. And so a knife is touching it. So it's a searing knife that would like you'd burn it.
You can burn toast.
Yeah, it's still toast. No matter how much you cook it, it's still toast.
Radiation.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned this because I didn't even think about that. Like, we've been talking about toasters at work. And so I've had to like figure out exactly how toasters work to do this thing that we're thinking about. And now I kind of want to make a toaster knife.
Now you have me intrigued. Well, you should make a toaster knife because a toaster knife doesn't exist.
Not yet.
Yet.
But it could exist.
If you take a torch to a regular bread knife,
mm-hmm.
You got to try that.
So you're cutting the bread.
Cut it slow enough.
But that's the thing is like you don't. That's just burn bread knife. You don't want to eat that.
So your argument is that the radiated heat is different than just putting a hot piece of metal against the bread.
Yep.
You're basically saying it's going to overcook it,
not cauterized toast, but cooked toast.
Yes, it's going to cook it directly. Unless you were to apply like you had a multi-layered knife where you had sharp edge, like thin layer of butter applicator.
He's and thinking then, about this.
Well, I mean, you have to do it right.
Searing edge that maintained a decent temperature so that as you cut it, it applied butter, and then the toast was seared after the butter was applied as it goes through the loaf, which is unnecessary. But yeah, you could.
We got to get William Osman on this. I'm pretty sure he can make it.
No, you need to get me on this because I'm going to. Where's my notebook?
Yeah, I'm going to toast printer.
I'm going to be in fusion for a bit while you guys keep talking.
Okay. not being sacrilegious, but Star Wars prequels, the underwater breather, real or fake?
Three breather, yeah.
Yeah, but the one that he has in his mouth, that there's actual products that make you think that thing works and it doesn't. It's crap. It's a hoax. But yeah, rebreathers do exist, but it's a massive system.
Yeah, it's not like that.
It's true. It's totally fake.
I'm going to trust the underwater survival cool. instructor.
But yeah, Josh is right. There are products out there that make you think that it's real, and it's not. It's
God, totally there are fake. So many janky-looking underwater things like, oh, here, this is the newest, coolest snorkel, and they're the stupidest and the most expensive waste of ridiculous money. It's really funny to see like new, cool underwater products. Like it's a hose that goes from your mouth to the air. Don't try to church it up, man.
It's like a big sippy straw or what?
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, but the thing that, no, there's people that actually like made a product that looks like that, and it has these two little canisters off to the side, but it's a complete hoax. Like, I don't even know if there's a working prototype.
Speaking of new and great inventions, the car umbrella. Much like it sounds, it's an umbrella for your car. Real or fake?
That sounds like a SkyMall product.
It absolutely does.
I could swear I've seen it somewhere, but I don't know if it's a real product.
I mean, if you can't afford a garage, that's the next best thing.
Yeah, like if there's like a hailstorm, you're like, oh man,
why don't you put a condom over umbrella. Your car?
I could see it, but I would see it like Wes is talking, like a pop-up kind of carport.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't work if you were driving. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, like inverse.
Well, this is obviously not something for when you're driving.
You say obvious.
It is a totally...
There's a person that started with it.
There's a lawyer with a disclaimer ready to go.
You can, I guess, drive with it on, but there is a totally true product called the car umbrella that's a collapsible system that comes out of the top and attaches to the mirrors in the front and the handles in the back of the car, and it is a car umbrella. An umbrella for your car. Hmm. All right. Next question. The weather machine.
Like the thing on my counter that tells me that it's snowing outside?
The thing on your counter that has that snow in the machine to tell you that it's snowing outside.
So you're talking about a machine that is making the weather.
Well, I mean, not outside. It's
like,
making
like
weather
in a super
inside.
Villain.
Oh, that's a SkyMall product. I know what you're talking about. That little, like, it's a little glass thing. It makes it look like it's snowing. I think I know what you're talking about. I think I've seen this.
Dang it, you guys have researched this. Yes, it is totally true. It is it's like a glass cube thing.
Yeah.
And it has weather inside the cube. So when it's raining outside, it rains in the cube. When it's sunny, it's sunny in the cube. When it's cloudy, there are clouds, like literal clouds, like in the cube. No need to look out the window when you have the weather machine to tell you what the weather is like outside.
So it's a biosphere, basically.
Yeah, like a little...
Pauly Shore stuck in there.
Self-contained weather biome.
Donovan, was that the last one,
like
or do you have one
like,
more?
I feel like
I have a few more.
You scoured SkyMall.
Yeah, let's do one more and then we'll start transitioning.
One more. Oh my gosh, there's so many that are good.
Tumblr.
Okay, GPS shoes. Shoes that give directions. Are they real or fake?
That's totally buildable.
Little haptic sensors in your shoe tell you on this foot or that foot. Yeah. My watch does that. The Apple Watch does it. If you need to turn right or turn left when you're using the maps, it has a little buzz. The buzz is different for a right turn or left turn. So yeah, totally believable they'd be in your shoes.
Yep. Just like that, there are haptic sensors in the base of your shoe that vibrate when you need to turn right or turn left and give you directions of where you need to go.
I wonder if that's totally an accessibility product for like a blind person.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of like practical applications for it besides.
Wouldn't you need it for the dog though? That's sort of stupid. You need four of them.
I want to make a cane, a blind person's cane. It just says, watch out. There's a dude in front of you. Turn left, man. There's a car coming.
All right, one more. A la Stanley, since, you know, he's been in the news so much lately. A spider web shooter. Real or fake?
No, you're not talking about a toy. You're talking about
a Target.
I saw a kid at Maker Faire.
Not a toy that does the you know, foam stuff, but like a spider web shooter. Real or fake?
I've seen prototypes for something that does something similar. I don't remember what it's actually shooting out, though.
You would have to literally shoot spider webs.
A kid at Maker Faire had one. When we were in New York Maker Faire, he did a little thing and it shot like a, I forgot what the filament was, but it was super, super fine. It had a little magnet on it and it shot it across the way.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
I would say it's real.
Yeah, It's true. It's actually called Webcaster. It's most commonly used in the film industry, actually, by set designers who need to put spider webs up on sets. And so it's a gun that has a cartridge kind of like hot glue, and it has an air compressor. And what they do is that they shoot spider webs across all of these sets to design the set for films, for movies.
Okay, so you have to have a pill that actually literally has food in it, and you're going to say that's, you know, a food containing pill, but now you're shooting something that's not actually a spider web, and you're saying that passes. Okay, so you can't like be super specific with one and not the other. I'm just saying.
I'm on team.
There's no silk within this filament that is hand woven.
And you said it's a gun.
I will let you next time.
They're milking all the spiders, yes, to make those super concentrated.
I've got
glue gun sticks.
Me, Greg,
yeah. And they do not like it. They do not like it at all.
All right, so what are you guys geeking out about this week?
I'm half geeking out, but half not. I'm sort of torn. I'm a little bit conflicted with this one. I'm excited and also not for Toy Story 4. The third one was such a perfect bookend to the series that it's sort of just announcing that there's going to be a fourth one. It just set with me the wrong way, but the teaser trailer that I saw that had Key and Peele in it was pretty hysterical. So, I don't know. I'll have to weigh in after a full trailer.
I kind of feel the same way, especially because they said that this was going to be the last one, especially for the ending that's planned.
So they said that for three.
Yeah, I know, but it seems like here you have this trilogy, and now you have this one that might feel like it kind of stands on its own. But
is it a crystal skull kind of thing going on? You know, I'm just saying.
Just get in a refrigerator and hope for the best.
Well, I went and saw Bohemian Rhapsody the other day, and it was awesome. So not even if you like Queen, if you like music, like watching them make the songs that are so popular, like it was just an outstanding movie. I thought it was super cool. And it was my anniversary, so we went to go see that, and we went to another thing I was mega geeking out about. What? You not hear me?
No, I can hear you. I'm just disappointed that I didn't get to go. But go ahead.
Oh. We went to the restaurant that Wes and I tried to go to. It was good. But then we went to a super secret speakeasy in Louisville that you walk in and it's just like this little museum looking thing. And this lady pops out of the wall and you have to answer like the questions 3 and have a reservation. And then she rubs on the wall in the right spot, and then the door opens up, and we go downtown or go downstairs into this like 1920s speakeasy with these high back like velvet booths. And she set us up in this like mezzanine kind of place that had this nice bookcase, and the bookcase was a secret entrance to another little banquet room. And it is the exact thing. It was the perfect thing for my office that I'm going to make downstairs, the secret office that we're doing. And so that day was just, it was awesome. It was my anniversary. Saw a great movie. Super secret stuff that I will geek out about all day long, and gave me inspiration for an upcoming project.
Very cool.
That's awesome. With my Harry Potter project that I'm going to be doing on Monday, and The Crimes of Grindelwald coming out tomorrow, I've been geeking out about Harry Potter stuff, going back and watching some of the movies and whatnot. So that's what I've been geeking out about this week.
I'm geeking out about getting a teaching certification that I got yesterday for a piece of software that I use for teaching my animation classes, and then also seeing the different levels of certification that I actually might end up pursuing, including a professional certification for it. And being around a bunch of animators yesterday and in the environment and working with the company, it kind of got me excited about actually animating again, which is something I hadn't planned on doing. I'm teaching it, and I like teaching it, but I didn't really plan on creating a whole lot. But now I'm thinking I might. So we'll see what happens over the next year, because I'm not going to do it in the next 3 months. So
that's cool. Exciting.
Yeah. All right, so we would love to hear from all of you. Go ahead and check out the website, makinggeeks.com. Go ahead and go to the contact page if you'd like. And drop us a question, any suggestions for the show. And if you've been looking at the live stream, you'll notice that we have some different backgrounds that we have from time to time. We'd be open to you guys creating some more of those too for us. I think they're kind of fun. I think we've only had about two or three people kind of contributing to that so far. We'd like to open that up to everybody. And then right there on the homepage of the site, you can listen to all of our past episodes and take a look at all the guests we've had on the show too. And we have a couple more planned within the next month or two. So stay tuned for that on makinggeeks.com.
We'd like to thank our patrons over at patreon.com/makinggeeks for their support with keeping our show running. And we'd like to thank our top patron from C3D Prop Shop. Thank you so much for your support, buddy. We hope you will continue your support because it's awesome. I hope you like your books that you got in the mail as a perk and stickers. It seemed like you did on Instagram. We love seeing that stuff shared. If you'd like to help us out, head over to makinggeeks.com.
Nope.
Slash URL nope. Slash HTML slash PHP. Thank you.
That's patreon.com slash making geeks. There you go.
I mean, I might as well just keep digging.
You can follow us online. But do I do like each of us? What? I don't know what I do now. I'm freaking out. Okay. You can follow us online. Sean at Geek Builders on Instagram and the internet. Josh at the PI Workshop.
You're doing great.
Oh, thank you. All right. Wesley at Geeksmithing and myself at Once Upon a Workbench. Gosh, I'm so fired.
That was good. And you can find the podcast all over the internet. You can search Making Geeks on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and it'll come up. Thanks for everybody for hanging out with us this week. Thank you for everybody in the live chat on YouTube. We stream every Thursday around 9:30 Eastern time. Come hang out with us. Be part of the chat. It's always a lively discussion there. And we hope you enjoyed this episode. And stay tuned every Saturday for a new one. And we hope you have a fantastic week.
See ya.
Take care. Bye.
Okay. I'm making poop. Making poop taters.
Just get in the refrigerator and hope for the best.
Grody.